our sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. Amen. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Listen, it's a happy day in our Christian life when we can accept that and get beyond guilt that the devil tries to put upon us. Now, I'm not talking about, not having a conscience when we do sin. We know we need to pray and ask for forgiveness, but accepting the fact that Jesus has taken our sin, bore our sin, all our sin, in his own body on the tree. Amen. And they're gone. I mean, they're gone. Amen. When the Lord looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a good light to stand in. Amen. That's the best light to stand in. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that God don't look at me and all of my sins and failures and shortcomings and sins and more sins and more sins. Amen. For all have sinned. And I know that's speaking concerning before salvation, but little John, he knew it was going to be a battle. He said, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's none of us that have gotten beyond the sin nature. You can live some victorious days away from sin. Hey, listen to me. Sins, that we know about. But still, there are things in our lives that we may not even realize that's not just the way that a holy God would have them to be. Am I right about that? I know it's best for me if when I get down at night, just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask the Lord to bring them to my mind. Search our heart. That's what David said. Search my heart. See if there be any. And evidently, David didn't know that there was any. But God knew if there was any in there. Any wicked way. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad it's all been took care of. Amen. All been took care of. Praise God. There's going to be a group of people in heaven. And that group of people are going to be those that put their faith in Christ. All their trust in him. Again, it's good to see everybody here in the Lord's house that's able to be here. I desire your prayers. That the Lord would help us this morning to give you something from the Word of God. I think it'd be a help to you. In Luke chapter number 3, down in verse number 21, we come to the baptism of Christ. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. This is recorded If you have a reference Bible, you'll see that this is recorded in Matthew 3. It's also recorded in Mark 1 and also in John 1. The baptism of Jesus Christ. But what I want to look at part of this today and not talk to you about his baptism so much, but what he was doing when he was baptized. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. I want us to look in the book of Luke this morning at Jesus praying. Jesus praying. When we come to the book of St. Luke, Luke, of course, many of you know, he is the beloved physician. That's what he was known as. Luke was a physician. He makes mention of many of the miracles that our Lord did. He was, I guess you could say, as a physician, he stood in awe of that gift of healing that our Lord had and everything about it. He recorded them in great detail, Luke did. I mean, the ones that he recorded, I mean, some of the greatest things done by our Lord, St. Luke recorded them. What he wanted to show many times was those that were incurable meeting the one that was all-powerful. And when you've got somebody incurable meets the all-powerful, well, then the incurable has to make way for him. But what our Lord is doing, in most instances, you'll find him praying, even here at his baptism. And I want us to look around these prayers and say some things about Jesus praying, what we can learn from the prayers of our Lord in the book of Luke. Jesus also being baptized and praying. This was something that he was doing as he was being baptized. The importance of him praying. Listen, it wasn't just an act, an outward act necessarily of showing everyone. I mean, that he was being baptized. This was a moment between him and the Heavenly Father. This was something to be prayed about. This was something to be prayed during. He was praying as he was being baptized. And as he was praying, and as he was being baptized, the heaven was opened. Now I'd say the heaven was opened because of his praying. Amen? Now, it may have been also because he was being baptized, but I believe it had to do more with because he was praying. Praying and the heaven was opened. You and I need to learn to pray, and that when we pray, pray in that mentality, that we are praying to an open heaven. I mean, if we're coming to the throne of grace, then our prayers, we've got to get beyond this ceiling right here in our mind. Amen? In our spirit, in our soul, we've got to get out of this building. Are you listening? We start on the altar. But where we're going, are you listening to me, is into the third heaven. When you and I pray, we need to realize that God is ever willing to open the heaven
for the praying son of God or daughter of God. Amen. The heaven was open and the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon him. It was the Spirit of God that descended upon our Lord. Amen. As he was praying, you and I, we know that it is the Spirit of God that makes intercession for us. Now, he was present here as our Lord was praying, descending upon our Lord, coming upon our Lord as he prayed, and a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." Jesus prayed and got an answer from heaven. It does not say what Jesus was praying, but he was praying at his baptism, praying at the time of his baptism. John, around this time of his baptism, was wondering why he was not the one being baptized. And our Lord, let him be known. He said, "Suffer it now to be so." All these things must be fulfilled. Even the things that he had to do as the Son of Man, but also as the Son of God. Maybe it is that Jesus was praying. You don't say what the words that he was saying when he prayed. But the evidence of his prayer, the heaven was open, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." It may have been that the Lord wanted this confirmation for John. Amen? I don't know. But it tells me that our Lord prayed, and the Holy Ghost was there. Prayed, and the heaven was open. Prayed, and got answers from the Father. Amen? Now, as soon as he had done with this, and the voice that spoke out of heaven, you see in chapter 4, it picks up. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This prayer that our Lord prayed at his baptism was going to be the last time that he prayed, going on the power of the Holy Ghost and this prayer, and the confirmation from heaven by God that he is the beloved Son and that God is well pleased. He enters 40 days to be tempted of the devil. Think about that. But the next time we find our Lord praying is in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5, he comes, and there's a man that is the sick of the palsy. He's known as the sick of the palsy. And in chapter 5, verse 16, here's what the Bible says about Jesus praying. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You'll find it many times in the reading of the scripture this morning that our Lord constantly withdrew himself and went away, withdrew himself from the public, withdrew himself, not as the scribes and Pharisees who wanted to be heard for their much praying. Our Lord wanted time in prayer alone, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness, a wilderness place like the closet is, a place that you get away from everything, and prayed. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It would help you and I to learn to withdraw ourselves from everything and pray. Amen. Too many times. Listen, Here's a lot of the praying that happens today. I'm going to run in here real quick and pray. Did you hear what I said? I can't run in here real quick and pray. Because what I've done just by my words is I've got my mind on everything that I'm going to have to do. So I don't have much time in here. What I need to do is withdraw myself from everything else and pray. Amen? Make it like a will. I'm so far away from all of this. Amen? That it's completely out of my reach that I can finally pray. And that's the prayer that you and I need to pray ever so often. Amen? That prayer that we withdraw ourselves away from everything and just pray. Just take that time and pray. Because it's then that you and I can go and face what's out there ahead of us. Like this man that was sick of the palsy. This man that Jesus told him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." The power of that. Listen, that only our Lord could make such a statement as that. To tell him his sins are forgiven him. It's not very often that you find the Lord telling sick people that their sins are forgiven them. You find it in several places. Several places. But listen, no doubt that come from the time that he had with the Father in prayer to do more than just a healing, but to also make it known that right then and there, that man's sins were going to be forgiven him. They are forgiven him. Amen. Jesus had yet to go to the cross. Does that mean that Jesus didn't yet have power to forgive sin? No, because listen, he is as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Sin, past, present, or future. Our Lord at any time can say, "Man, thy sin be forgiven thee." But he got this when he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed to let this man know. He withdrew himself in a wilderness and prayed. In chapter number 6 and verse number 12, here's what the Bible said. When Jesus was going to call his disciples, men who would be his apostles, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, many disciples, and of them he chose 12. He didn't just call 12 to him. He called his disciples, many that would follow him. Already at this point, many people were following him. But out of that many, he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. You know why our Lord, listen, there's some things that you can't just pray in over in 30 minutes. There's some things that even just in a short amount of time can be prayed over. Some things can't. This was one of those things. These were going to be the elected 12. Are you listening to me? And he continued all night in prayer to God. Continued all night in prayer to God. Now listen, our Lord went into a mountain to pray. He went into a mountain to pray, and he wound up continuing all night. You see, prayer is not something that when you and I go to do, that we have an already set stopping place. It should never be that I've already got a set stopping place when I get ready to pray to the Lord. Amen? When it comes time to truly getting to the place where I want to see the heaven open and a voice from God speak to me about what must be done. Listen, if I'm willing to stay in that place with God, don't you think God can take care of all that needs to be took care of? And so our Lord, He chose the 12 after that He had continued all night in prayer. All these things that our Lord prayed before doing. Prayed before doing. Prays and then does. We'll see that habit. He prays and then does. Amen? In chapter number 9, but when he would have come into Caesarea Philippi, right before the confession, Peter's confession of Christ, in verse number 18, it came to pass, as he was alone praying, His disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? It came to pass as he was alone praying. His disciples were with him. Many times our Lord was with his disciples that he drew away and prayed, even while they were with him. I can remember my granddaddy many a time seeing that very example. People in the house came to see him, came to talk with him, came to fellowship with him, ask him questions about the Bible. All the time it was that way. People from everywhere. And I don't know how many times that sometime during all that was going on, he would just withdraw, go back, and shut the door in his prayer room. And he wasn't doing it to be heard. It was because days when nobody was there, that's what he did. He had that place that he went, and he prayed. And listen, all the people in the world wasn't going to stop him from talking to the one he really needed to talk to. The one that you and I really need to talk to. Now, I'm not promoting, necessarily leaving your company or just being bad to people. No, it has nothing to do with that. But I'm talking about a consistent prayer life. That there are certain times, no matter what's happening, no matter who's around, you pull away and go to that time with the Father that you have. Making that time with Him. That time with the Father. Jesus had time with the Father. That's the times that He prayed. And He was alone praying. Some of His disciples could have come with Him and prayed. I'm sure he wouldn't have mattered if they had got down and prayed. He would have probably encouraged them to pray. But whether they prayed or not, he prayed to the Father. Now before in this same chapter, in chapter 9, verse 28, it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings that Peter, confessed who he was. And our Lord talked about men denying themselves and following him. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. He took them. He's bringing them in to teach them. And as he prayed, listen, this is something they had never seen. And this is the first time that it's mentioned in Luke. We call it the Transfiguration. This is the one time that it's mentioned. It may be the only time it ever happened. But it does not mean that our Heavenly Father, our Lord, and our Heavenly Father did not have very much open communion in prayer, just like this. But on this occasion, he took three of his disciples. Maybe it's because they begin to draw closer to him. Peter and James and John, surely they were the three closest out of the group. Jesus took them up, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He brought them up so that they could see him in a different way. And his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. They saw things that none of the others saw, being with our Lord as he prayed, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That our Lord took Peter and James and John and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, this happened. To let them see what happens as he prays. They saw something as he prayed. They saw a great change in his countenance. Could you imagine being there, going up into a mountain to pray with your Lord, and then as your Lord is praying, begin to see his countenance change the way that they saw it change? Listen, the time of prayer is a very spiritual thing. It's not something that you and I should take lightly as many times we do take prayer. As if, you know, a lot of times we go not even expecting much to change. We should go expecting great change. Amen? Holy change. Change by the power of God and the power of Christ. That's what real prayer will do for you and I. Amen. It will transform your life. Prayer transforms us. Prayer transforms you and I into a glorious image. Amen. That Christ would have us, I mean, to really pray. Really pray. To get that in your soul and in your heart. That God, this is a different time. This is one of the greatest things a child of God can do is pray. So he brought them up at the Transfiguration so that they might see his glory. And he prayed before the Transfiguration. He prayed before he called the 12. He prayed before he went into the wilderness. He prayed and was baptized. Always praying before. In chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, see, it's good if somebody's praying not to interrupt them. It's good if you see someone praying that you recognize, regardless who they are, that they're trying to get to the third heaven. That they may at some point have been in or may be fixing to go in or may be in. But when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something in his prayer life that now they're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. We need to teach people to pray. How to pray. Not just how to pray, but to actually pray. Teach them to pray. How important it is to pray. What prayer is, what prayer does, how do we pray? How do we think when we're praying? To whom are we praying? Why are we praying? For what are we praying? For what should we be praying? What happens on account of prayer? What does prayer do to us and for us? And he said unto them, and he began to teach them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing on the list, Our Father. Now I want to show you something. I'm going to skip over a couple of things, and I'll get back to them. Well, I'll find it in a minute. Yeah. Right here in the same chapter, chapter 11. So he said, when you pray in verse 2, say, Our Father. Now look down in verse number 11. If a son, Jesus has given him a parable of a good father. He's talking about prayer. In the previous 5 or 6 verses, 5 through 10, it was a parable of the importune friend. And he's talking about prayer. But here he said in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, the Holy Spirit has been given at Pentecost. That verse, according to many, has been fulfilled. The Holy Spirit has already been given. For me and you to ask for the Holy Spirit, be asking for a gift we've already got. He already abides. But these other things, He wants us to have faith in the Father-Son relationship. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father. Any of you that's fathers, if your son comes and asks bread of you, are you going to turn him away? Or are you going to give him a stone? You going to give him a rock? If he asks a fish, are you going to give him a snake, a serpent? He's trying to get you and I to have faith in the father-son relationship. That when you and I come to our Father, which art in heaven, He's my Father and He's your Father. And that's how Jesus always approached Him. His Father in heaven. He's the Son. And now He's teaching His disciples, pray, have Father which art in heaven. And believe that if a son comes to a father and asks him of bread, he's not going to give him a stone. And if he asks his father for fish, he's not going to give him a serpent. If you know how to give gifts to your children, Don't you know Heavenly Father knows how much more to give good gifts to them that ask? Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He started out with the parable of the importune friend. Which of you shall have a friend, in verse 5, shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. What friend do we have that we could go to? We all have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But if you'll read chapter 5 through verse 10, he's teaching about persistence in petition. He goes to him asking. He goes to him asking. He keeps asking. He keeps asking. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set. For he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in the bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. Was that the end of it? No, he asked again. And this is what Jesus said in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Persistence in your petition. Continue asking. And realize if a son shall ask bread of a father. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. Pray, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Recognize how holy that your Heavenly Father is. There's a great message just in this prayer that the Lord taught them to recognize the Holy Father. Amen. That relationship you have. And you've got to have a relationship, by the way. Our Father. Is He your Father? Is He your Father? And that's not the Lord's prayer, by the way. That's our prayer. Let me hurry. 3 more places, or 4. In chapter 22, verse 31, he prays for Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. John 17, Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for every one of us. He prayed for his disciples. Then he said, I pray for all them that would believe. He prayed for us. He prayed that our faith fail not. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe. Must believe. Have faith. Believe in that relationship between you and the Heavenly Father. Believe that the Son has nailed your sin to the cross. Believe you have access into this grace. Amen? You and I have access into this grace. I don't feel like I'm worthy. Nobody's worthy of grace. That's why it's grace. Amen? God gives it freely. God gives it. He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. In chapter 22 and verse 41, our Lord was verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even our Lord prayed. And this is him praying as the Son of Man. If thou will, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Accept the Father's will in prayer. Accept the Father's will in prayer. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Not everybody can kneel down, but listen, if you can, you need to kneel down. Our Lord kneeled down. But listen, our Lord's not heartless. He knows people's got knee problems, hip problems, back problems, older people. A lot of times they can't get down. If they get down, they're not getting back up. I know that kind of sounds funny, but listen, you can sit, you can drop your head, you can kneel your soul before God. Amen. I believe God would take that. Prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed at the cross in chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiments and cast lots. As they mocked our Lord and gambled for his raiment, he asked the Father to forgive them while he was on the cross. Our Lord prayed for sinners, prayed for those that were guilty, prayed for those that hated him. Listen, he wasn't, right here, he wasn't praying, Lord, give me a good soft bed tonight. Lord, let all my bills get paid this month. No, right here, he was praying for most things that you and I don't ever want to pray for. Pray for your enemy. He told his disciples to do that. Pray for them that despitefully use you, that persecute you. Our Lord's being the divine example here on the cross. This is his divine self praying. Son of man praying in the garden, Son of God praying on the cross. And the last one Luke records in chapter 24. I wish I didn't have to rush through all these, but I realize the time. He had been with two of his disciples. They did not realize him. Verse 29, they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And there's several things I see here. I can't get into all of them. First, this is similarity. When he blessed it, broke, and gave to them, it's something he did many times. He did many times in their presence. Wasn't a surprise to them. Nobody ever did this like Jesus did. You have to get into a place where you, listen, you don't have to pray like somebody else. But you come be in you and always be in you. Recognizable. He blessed it and brake and gave to them, their eyes were open. Because of his prayer and his blessing, their eyes were opened. And don't you know that prayers can open the eyes of them that just do not see? How many old saints of God, years gone by, have prayed and the eyes of them they prayed for were opened? That still works today. Many other things. Again, I don't have time. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Lord praying,
it helps me to pray. It helps me to understand prayer. It helps me to have faith in prayer. I want you to stand this morning.